sailed with the crew of the Whiskey Jane, south and south and south. It got warm then cold again, to the edge of the map.
Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower. And we love to have live music in here, man. And this sounds great to me. This is what you just heard is from a band called The Diving Bell. And two of the guests are here. They're a married couple. Hi. Welcome to the show. It's Claire and Steve Hendershot of the band The Diving Bell. Welcome. Thanks for coming.
Thanks very much for having us.
Absolutely. So tell me about the origin of The Diving Bell, how it started. And I love the story about what it's named after, what the Diving Bell comes from.
Yeah, we were trying to figure out, the sound is kind of high tech meets old times. We figured the best way to do that is old tech. So we picked this proto submarine from the 1860s and found one particular story about this submarine in Panama that for its time was the coolest submarine in the world. It would have mattered more to history, except they brought it down there to fish for pearls, and there were no pearls as deep as the submarine was able to go. So they just beached it, and it sort of fell out of time and history until they dug it up in 2001 and figured out what it had been.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, how long have you guys been playing together? Have you guys been playing together for a long time before you even got married?
Definitely before. But not by much, because I was in a band by myself. Well, not by myself. I had a band, and then Steve joined, started playing bass for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of needed to win the band over, like, before I could just join, because, you know, it'd be weird if Steve was just like, have her come along, you know?
Yeah.
So
I started The Diving Bell, like, the moment that Claire and I started dating, and we met at an open mic, so it was like we met competitively with rival bands.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's cool. How long have you got, Claire? How long have you been playing music?
Man, since probably middle school. Mm-hmm. I think my little brother and older brother were both playing guitar, and I was just like, I want to play guitar.
Yeah.
So my little brother taught me guitar through like playing Beatles songs.
Right.
So.
That's cool. So for a long time you've been playing.
Yeah, for a long time.
That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
And what about you, Steve? When did you start playing music?
Yeah, way back. I think piano lessons when I was four or something like that, and I kept asking to play guitar, and finally, maybe fifth grade or so, I broke through, and my parents relented.
Where are you guys from? Where are you from?
I'm from Michigan, Lansing.
Yeah. Okay. I was just going to hold up the hand and see where you're
Yeah, somewhere in the middle.
You're in the middle, right, Lansing. Where are you from?
I'm from Taiwan. I actually grew up there. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. When did you come here?
For college.
Did you come to Chicago, or where was it?
A suburb, northern yeah. suburb, Deerfield.
Yeah. So, wow, what was it? You grew up in Taiwan.
Yeah, I grew up.
What was that like?
It was cool. It was what I was used to.
Was there a culture shock when you came here?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. But I mean, I'd come back every 4 years or so. Like, we'd come back to visit relatives and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the cereal aisle was like a culture shock in and of itself. So many options. It's one of my favorite things as a kid. I was just like, so many cereals.
It's so funny that you. It's one of. It's funny that you mentioned that, because there was this film. You guys know the movie The Hurt Locker?
Mm.
Okay, in The Hurt Locker, because he's been on, you know, he's doing tours, in the Middle East for such a long time, you know, defusing bombs and stuff. And he freaks out when he goes to the grocery store in the cereal aisle. Like, in the cereal, there's a scene in the cereal aisle where here's a guy who's, you know, defuses bombs and is in these intense situations, and he doesn't know what to do. And it's specifically
nice.
The cereal aisle.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's amazing. What was it? What was it, a business? Your family or something?
My parents were missionaries. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. We could talk all night about that. Wow, we have to get to some of the music though, and I'm really excited that you guys are here. We're gonna take a break, okay? We'll come back. We're gonna have the news. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more, and then you guys will play a couple songs. I can't wait to find out about the show you guys are doing. It's so unique,
cool.
And so cool. And we'll hear a little bit of the radio play we have here,
yeah,
and
cool.
You can set that up, and we'll listen to that. Okay, we're gonna take a break here, and we'll come back and we'll talk more with Claire and Steve of the band The Diving Bell, and their show is this Sunday, and we'll tell you all about it. It's gonna be a very unique event.
Your heart is a muscle that can't break. That's just an excuse
self-indulgent people like to make.
Oh, yeah. Morning, everybody. How you doing? We are back live in the Allstate Studio on the seventh floor of Trib Tower. It's Nick DiGilio here. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. That is the Diving Bell, and two of the members of that band are in studio with me. It's Claire and Steve Hendershot. Hi, guys. Welcome back.
Thanks.
Okay, so tell me about the kind of music that that inspired you guys. We'll start with you, Steve. What did you listen to when you were growing up? What was the stuff that inspired you that you liked?
I mean, once I moved past, you know, sort of whatever pop stuff I was getting into, I got really into old, like, 30s blues in high school. It was the era when, like, the truck stops were full of the last cassettes. You could get, like, 19 cassettes for 50 cents. I mean, I loaded up on all the old guys that I could get my hands on.
Yeah. And what about you, Claire?
I was really into harmony stuff, so Take Six was one of my first top people.
Yeah.
And then I got into NDRE later. I don't know, just cool vocals, cool melodies.
The vocal stuff is what you responded to the most.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you were in Taiwan, what kind of music were you listening to?
Those.
Yeah.
And Beatles was a big thing.
No Asian pop?
I got into Asian pop more in high school, but yeah, there's a little bit of Asian pop.
That's great. That's cool. You guys you mentioned that you were in bands before, separate bands. What other bands have you been in?
I was in a band called Branches.
And what kind of music?
It was my songs that were like kind of more rock, and then I went to like a solo thing, so okay. It was more folk.
And what about you, Steve?
Right out of college, I was in a strange band. Strange because it was called the Steve Hendershot Band, but I was not the lead singer. I had a couple early sensitive like singer-songwriter covers, and then it was in Iowa. You needed to be able to play from 9 to 1, so I had the leader of the gospel choir I was in. She pretty much took over, and we just covered Stevie Wonder and Aretha Franklin as soon as I had played through my 20 minutes of material.
Right, and then it was just covers after that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's great. You played in Iowa for a while.
Yeah, that's where I went to school.
So, oh, okay. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, listen, tell everybody about the event that's happening on Sunday. I mean, this is really unique and very, very cool. It's part live concert, part live radio show. And tell me about how this came to be. It's called South and South.
Yeah, early on with the Diving Bell, we had this idea that we didn't just sort of want to put on the same endless club show set, although we also love endless club show sets, but, you know, like, let's do something that's a little bit different. And also, you know, you have this experience where if you talk before a song, even, hey, I really like the song. It's amazing how, you know, afterwards people latch onto that. That's the one that they somehow perked up, they want to talk about. So this was this theory to, A, do a concept show so that it's a little bit different than that typical set, and then B, yeah, you give with a little narrative before a song, you help people hear the song in a certain way, and it just sort of adds this different engagement into listening to indie rock than otherwise. So with that in mind, I had written a bunch of songs for that our first EP, Behold the Bitter Monument, that were kind of exploration 1890s theme, and I just set out to write this plot around that. So we've got this explorer who is searching for Atlantis in the Great Lakes. So the way that this works is you've got a little narrative, and then a song pops in that pushes the narrative forward or reflects on what just happened. But we've got this explorer as he wanders around Lake Superior, and then we wrote a couple songs for it. And then I'm pretty excited about the.
It based in reality, or is it a story that was inspired by that time period and those things?
Just inspired. It's definitely pretty fantastical. Yeah.
Okay, that's great. And how did you write this? Did you guys write it together? Did you write it, Steve, or what?
I wrote it. We collaborated. You know, I got a friend who's good at sound design to do that part, and a audiobook narrator to do the VO. And so I wrote the story. I'm also a writer by day, and then I got a couple novelist friends to help edit it, and it all came together. It's fun to work with those guys.
That's great. That's really, really, boy, what a unique experience. Now, you said that you did this in Michigan, but this is it's a bigger show that you're doing on Sunday.
Exactly. We tried it out, sort of worked out the kinks last fall at an art festival in Michigan at Long Road Distillers, good friends of ours there, but the idea has always been to do this large scale in Chicago, so this is that.
And tell everybody, besides the show that you're going to see, there are some other really cool things happening.
Yeah, so we've rented this venue called Workshop Chicago in, I don't know, West Loop, West Town, Chicago and Halstead, that area. And it's, first of all, early in the evening because you can see, you know, huge windows, and we wanted to sort of do this while there was still sunlight so you could see the city behind. But then we've got a carnival as you walk in, a strange carnival in keeping with the not quite real history that is in the plot. So we've got kind of an 1890s harborside market, but with Poison Frog origami. Poison Frogs are the villain in the show, as you will hear momentarily. Mm-hmm. There's a leather riveting station. That's another plot element. We've got a live chalk artist, a mixologist there making drinks called the Poison Frog and the Whiskey Jane. I don't know, some strange...
And cakes.
Yeah. Wilder cakes boozy bunts that match the cocktails.
How did you... I mean, was this... Obviously, you have a lot of very talented friends and people that you know who are talented in very different ways. Was this just something you decided, I want to get all these people together and we're going to do this? Was that something that was that part of the reason why?
It quickly followed on, I think, like, hey, let's do this thing and we can involve so-and-so. And then at that point, once you've wrangled in 8 friends, why not 12, right?
Yeah, that's really cool. And it sounds so, and it's called South and South, The Curious Tragedy of the Whiskey Jane Expedition, 1894. That's what it's called. So I want to talk. We want to hear a song, and the setup for the song I'll be playing here, and it's from the radio show.
Exactly.
And so I don't really need to say anything. I can just. This will set the song up.
We're jumping into the middle of the plot. So our merry band of explorers has found an island after, you know, they've been at sea for days, weeks, months. Finally, they find an island. It's not the Lost City of Atlantis because that's underwater. But they're still excited because they found something. They've landed on the beach, and that's where we are.
Okay. So here we go. This is the song is called
Poison Frog Variations.
Poison Frog Variations, and here we go.
At first light, we made an unsettling discovery. We were surrounded by brightly colored, web-footed amphibians. Frogs. The frogs began singing in a low-throated chorus that was more harmonic and consistent than a traditional frog call, producing an exceptional effect. Fascination, then disorientation, along with a dizzying nausea, then violence. Marshall grabbed a paddle and took a mighty swing at me. He missed, but clobbered Hanson the castaway across the face. Phillips picked up a frog and threw it at Marshall. By the time I regained myself, Phillips was gone. Marshall confronted me in a glassy-eyed frenzy.
Was it you or the poison frog? Was it you so curiously endowed? So delicate and small. Most venomous of all. Was it you? Was it you? Is it true of the poison frog that their food is what gives them their power? It's gradually consumed. They're gradually consumed. Was it you? Is it true? Strange inside, you got carried away. Can you blame them? Did you pick your poison, or did you just forget? The first fast rule of science is magical creatures will carry you away. Magical creatures will. Creatures will carry you away. Magical creatures will carry you away.
That's great. That was great, man. That was really, really great.
Thank you.
Cool. Thanks.
Very cool. So the story, it's how long did it take you to write the story?
I mean, a good month of paying a lot of attention to it last summer, trying to just refine it to make it. I mean, there's also a lot of figuring out the format of what should a show like this be, and therefore, how long can I let this guy talk, you know, before we get into another song?
Yeah.
Random subplots that, you know, maybe there was a second island. I don't remember exactly how it all
Were went. You inspired by any concept albums? Because that, you know, I love concept albums because essentially albums don't exist anymore. In the way we consume music, it's all shuffle mode. It's all Pandora. I sound like an old man whenever I talk about this, but I remember when you would sit down and put an album on and listen to it from beginning to end, and that was the way the artist wanted you to listen to the record. Those songs were put in that order for a specific reason. And that sort of experience is just kind of gone now. And I know I sound like an old dude. It's like, this damn technology is ruining everything. Get off my lawn. And I know that that's not the case. But I love concept albums. I love the idea of sitting down and hearing a story, you know, through a whole album. Were you inspired by concept albums at all?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Way back in high school, so mostly I was listening to blues. But also my best friend and I, we both worked on the high school newspaper when we had to drive the I don't even know how this worked. Technology is so far. I don't remember what we had to drive something to a printer so that they could print the newspaper. Maybe we were just picking up the newspaper, but we would race to Jethro Tull's "Thick as a Brick" because that album took like 43 minutes and 19 seconds, and we could do it in like 42. I got real familiar with that one.
I gotta tell you, man, this is very strange. This might be the only radio show where maybe monthly "Thick as a Brick" gets mentioned. Don't know what that says about this show or the guests that I have on, but Tall comes up a lot on this show. One of my favorite bands of all time. That's really cool. Were there other concept albums that you listened to?
I guess more recently, the Flaming Lips have done some stuff like that that I've enjoyed.
Yeah,
those are the big two that I can think of.
Radiohead has done a few, but it's kind of a lost art, man. Mm-hmm. I remember I grew up in the 70s. So it was like, you know, I had, you know, all the Floyd albums I listened to The Wall 17 million times when I was, that album came out when I was 15. So it's like a 15-year-old boy, The Wall comes out, that's it, it's all over. Right. You know, Quadrophenia and Tommy and all those, the 70s was a wonderful time for the concept album. Yep. It really was. That's pretty cool. Tell me a little bit about the rest of the band. Who else is in it? We'd like to give them a shout out too.
Yeah, thanks for wanting to do that. So we've got Graham Gilreath, drummer and vocalist, Charles Murphy, electric guitar player and vocalist, Jake Gordon on the bass, and then for this show, we have another friend, Mike Parton in Detroit, who picks up and plays with us a lot when we go through Michigan, and he did this entire 4-week-long engagement last fall in Grand Rapids, and so he's going to come in and do the show this weekend as well.
Cool. Is there any multimedia stuff involved in it, or is it there is. Okay. What do we got?
There's, what do you call it? It's like video, but what do you call it?
Compositing, I think, is maybe, yeah, like a sort of video.
Like movement, but not like
it's like multimedia screen.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So it's
to help tell the story.
Yeah, exactly.
More evocative. It's like if you look away from the screen, the plot will not have passed you by, but you will have missed a chance to see a menacing frog drift through space.
That's pretty cool. I happen to love frogs. I do. My favorite movie of all time is Magnolia. It's my favorite movie of all time, and that movie ends with a rain of frogs coming down from the sky.
William H. Macy.
Exactly right. But it's an interesting, I don't know, there's just something about that animal that it's, you said the word evocative is really interesting, but there's so much that you can do with a frog, and that sounds weird. I'm not talking about preparing it like a chef, but I'm just saying that I've always find them endlessly fascinating.
You know, that song that we just played was written for this show once the plot was already constructed, but there was already an idea for it on our honeymoon. We went to we were in Atlanta and we went to the Georgia Aquarium, and I just remember the poison dart frog exhibit, and it was just a fascinating. It's the most poisonous animal on Earth, but they're not born poisonous. It's sort of like Wolverine in the comics. They're actually born with they eat something that poisons everyone else, and they're immune to it. But then gradually it builds up, and they get more and more poisonous. Which is fat, like, that's songwriting fodder right
there. There you
right?
go, man. Yeah, there you go. Like, we got a concept album.
Exactly.
There it is. All right, listen, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more, and then we'll hear one more song from South and South. Let me give everybody the information about this really cool event that's going to be happening. It's going to be a live radio play concert all together, and it's going to be a great story, and there's going to be a crazy carnival there as well. There's going to be cakes, and there's going to be drinks. There's going to be origami, and it's all going to be at Workplace Chicago, which is at 935 West Chestnut. And how did you find this place?
You know, they did a folk series. Ben Skoda, who runs it, as a – I think it started as a co-working place workshop, and then gradually it became this event venue. And I think now they've taken the co-working people and moved them to a different room because there are events going in there
all
so
the time.
Often. But one of the things he did was a four-event folk series there that we – played at once and supported our friends at two other times, and it was gradually over the course of that I was like, this is pretty cool. There's not necessarily a stage or sound infrastructure. We're going to bring all that in, but everything else that we would want to do in terms of making the place look cool, it already looks cool.
That's great. Okay, so it's at Workplace Chicago, 935 West Chestnut. It is Sunday night at 6 o'clock, and it's $15 to get in. DivingBellMusic.com is the website. You should check it out. We have a link on our Facebook page to make it easy for everybody. So just go to Facebook.com/NickDShow. This Sunday night, 6 o'clock, $15 to see South and South by the Diving Bell. We'll take a break, and we'll come back, talk more, and hear some more music right here on WGN. Music from the Diving Bell.
We sailed the first great submarine, sank down in that dark machine.
We have two of the members of the band here. Claire and Steve Hendershot of the Diving Bell are here live in studio. Welcome back. And the event is this Sunday. It's a live performance, a radio play, a concept album, if you will, and a carnival and all kinds of really cool stuff in a unique environment called Workplace Chicago, 935 West Chestnut. It's only $15 to get in. It's Sunday. Starts at 6 o'clock. Check out DivingBellMusic.com. Before we hear the next song, I always ask a standard question to musicians who come in here. There's two of them. So let me start with you, Claire. What was the first album that you ever bought? Like with your sort of like, you know, with your allowance or whatever.
That was a hard one. I was trying to think. I would say I think it was like an African pop compilation.
Okay.
Random disc that okay. I saw, thought was interesting.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. And Steve, what about you? First album?
I remember like when CDs came out, somehow my dad gave me an allowance to get four, and I just picked four. Winners, I say, half tongue in cheek. Heavy D and the Boys, Paula Abdul, Bobby Brown, and Boys to Men.
You four for four, as far as I'm concerned, man. Absolutely. We do a thing on Friday mornings here called Fly Jams Friday, where we play like cool R&B, and we play a lot from that era. As Esmeralda, who does traffic here, her eyes lit up when you said those four artists were your first. She's shaking her head. Okay, and then first concert.
I don't know. First concert, I don't know. I was pretty little. I don't remember. But the memorable concert, my
okay.
first memorable concert, was Sigur Rós, like early 2000s.
Sure.
It was just an amazing
yeah.
experience.
I've never seen that. And what about you, Steve?
That I was able to pay for and pick out myself was like a tie. I think around the same time I went to see Eric Clapton and the Indigo Girls, so that puts it at a moment in time known as the mid-90s. But
yeah, absolutely. So you went from Boys to Men to Clapton and the Indigo Girls.
Yeah, exactly. Reflecting the like the gap in time between
yeah.
when I could get buy a CD and buy a concert ticket.
Got it. Okay, cool. We're going to hear another song here, and then I want to mention really quickly that people should listen to your podcast. It's a bi-weekly podcast, and it's called Cedar Cathedral. And it tell everybody just really quickly about what it is and how people can hear it.
Yeah, so as we've been indie artists trying to make our way, and I'm also a feature writer, it was like, as we're trying to make a living doing this, it felt like a good move to kind of fuse those two things together. Let's figure out a way to be storytellers about other people doing the same thing. And then also we're trying to figure out how to be professional artists in the Great Lakes, and we see a lot of other people, not just musicians, doing that around us. So we sort of picked our touring radius of Detroit, Grand Rapids, Minneapolis, Milwaukee, Chicago, and we're just running around talking to people, fashion designers, chefs, brewers, all over the map, and just trying to
So artists in the Great Lakes area.
Artists in the Great Lakes area, okay. And just do a long form story telling each of their stories.
Okay. Cedar Cathedral, and people can get it through your, for your through your website. Mm-hmm. Divingbellmusic.com. Okay, cool. So we can just play this and it'll explain the next song. You want to?
Yeah, I forget. So at this point, where the frogs have led our crew into the woods, and they've come to a clearing in the center of the island where there's an old factory, and our hero, Shackelford, runs into Kensington, this former great explorer, and they're all kind of riveting leather pieces for reasons that are shrouded in mystery. But
okay.
That leads to this. Moment.
Okay.
Of the beast.
Here we go.
We marched without water or rest until the rustle of the wind in the trees gave way to a halting, mechanical groan. It was a sort of factory, an assembly line where bare-backed workers stamped and riveted misshapen leather objects that traveled along a conveyor belt. I looked forward to the end of the line and saw a giant, rotten mound of finished leather pieces. Many of them appeared quite old and without purpose, though it was clear the rivets had been applied masterfully. "Raise the hammer. Strike it down," instructed Kensington. I obeyed, lifting a hammer and then swinging it. I felt a surge of satisfaction as the rivet set neatly into place. I began to understand Kensington and worked for a spell while the frogs sang.
You can't talk your way out of the belly of the beast you love. Whether you believe it, she knows you don't mean it. Keeps you safe and warm. No, will you change her ways? That's the nature of the beast you crave. She's a lonely rider, not a holy martyr. That's just what she says. Beauty of the beast is the master. The office of the priest is you. And all at once you feel it, all your songs reveal it. Still her arms conceal it inside of the belly of the beast you love. Bear your burden then. She's your creation, dark addiction deep within. The beauty of the beast is the master of the feast is the office of the priest is you. You feel it, all your songs reveal it. Still her arms conceal it inside of the belly of the beast you love. The belly of the beast you
was great. Really great, guys. Really great. I love this stuff. I hope everybody comes out on Sunday to Workplace Chicago. You can get all the information at divingbellmusic.com. It's $15 to get in. There's a carnival, and there's going to be this great show. You guys are great. It was so much fun having you down. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Okay, we got a break for the news, and we'll come back right here on WGN.